He was such a funny, sweet-tempered, jolly old motor bus, number 999 was. He was so very wide and so very steady, and his bright paint always looked so fresh and shiny that you loved the first glimpse you had of him. He never pretended not to see people when they wanted him to stop at a corner. He wouldn't have dreamed of such a thing. He always stopped and waited till they got on with both feet. He never skidded sideways on slippery days, as some of the younger buses like to do. He went rumbling straight along and never broke down. Everybody liked number 999, and number 999 liked everybody, from the tiny little babies who looked so surprised to be there, to the old, old men who always carried their canes and their white whiskers with them. But one morning, number 999 started out, and he didn't feel like himself at all. It was a lovely, cold, snowy morning, with great white snowflakes like butterflies in the air, and a soft gray sky, and everybody seemed so happy, with bundles of holly and twinkles in their arms and buttonholes and faces. There were round green wreaths and bright red ribbons on doors and bells jingling down the streets. The shop windows were packed with scarlet and green and gold, and there was a smell of pine trees in the air which made number 999 feel like a little play bus again. "Why do I feel like that?" he wondered. "It smells like Christmas trees." And just then a gay little boy's voice said, "It will be a snowy Christmas tomorrow, Daddy." "Why," said number 999 to himself, "it's the day before Christmas." Now, number 999 always worked harder at Christmas time than any other time. Everybody in the world was scurrying around then, shopping at the last minute and losing their packages and having to go back again and going to see their grandmothers and cousins and children and aunts and mothers and fathers, and carrying big parcels with exciting ends sticking out, a doll's foot or a velocipede handle or a long scarlet candle. Number 999 had very heavy loads, but he adored Christmas time just the same. And best of all, he liked the day before Christmas. It seemed the gayest and the most adventurous and the fullest of delightful secrets of all the days. But this particular day before Christmas, as I said, number 999 felt very odd. He had never felt just like this before in his whole life. Somehow he didn't want to carry everybody back and forth to their Merry Christmases. He wanted to have a day before Christmas himself. All at once, there in the middle of the street, he gave a jump up in the air with all four wheels. "I'm going to have a Christmas myself," he said. "I'm going to run away." And without even thinking another minute about it, he started off. He ran down the snowy street just as fast as he could, and though there was a nice old lady waiting for him on the very first corner, he didn't even wink. He just tossed his head and laughed deep down in his radiator and ran on faster than ever. He had never done that before. He'd always stopped for everybody. He was as bad as he could be that day before Christmas. He ran all over town, and nobody could stop him. He didn't pay the least attention to the traffic cops. He ran around just as he liked. He got the streetcars and trucks all mixed up by running down the wrong side of the street. He tooted his horn unexpectedly at people and made them jump out of their rubbers. He stood up on his back wheels and lunged at a very fat young man with a flower in his coat and a beautiful new hat. And the very fat young man ran and lost his flower and his hat. And number 999 laughed until he choked. Yes, he did. Good old number 999, who had always been so kind. He picked up a holly wreath with a bright red ribbon bow and stuck it over one ear. Then he looked at himself in a big store window and pranced in the street because he was so proud. Then he started off to run faster than ever. Nobody could do one thing with him. The policeman tried to stop him, so did the chief of police, so did the mayor. But number 999 just laughed and laughed and blew his horn and ran around the corner. At last the mayor ordered all the police, especially the two on horseback, and all the fire departments, especially the hook and ladder and the band and the patrol wagon, to assemble in the square by the big outdoor Christmas tree. "We have to catch number 999 and put him in jail," the mayor said sternly. Number 999 decided suddenly that he had played long enough in the city, so he ran away out into the country. Oh, what a good time he had out there, for he was a city bus. He had never been in the country before, and he liked running along a country road in the snow with no one else in sight, and his horn sounding so loudly in the still blue air. He felt more and more excited all the time. Then he found a steep hill, and he lay down on his back with his wheels in the air and slid down it. Then he rolled over and over in the fluffy snowdrifts, first taking off his holly wreath and hanging it up in a tree. Then he found a little river all covered with ice, and he slid up and down it for a long time. Then he went back to find his holly wreath, he put it on, and he started down the winding road again. He skipped. After a while, he saw the high and mighty walls of a castle up on a hilltop. He stopped a green wagon, which was ambling slowly by. "What is that on the hill over there?" he asked. "What?" said the wagon. "That castle on the hill. What is that?" number 999 asked the green wagon a second time. "It's a castle," said the wagon. "Of course it is. Old slab sides," said number 999, laughing. But who lives there?"
"The lord of the castle lives there," said the wagon slowly after a long silence. "All alone he lives, since his daughter married the piper and he sent them away."
"I believe I'll just run up and see him," said the motor bus.
"Oh, I'll watch for you to come down," said the green wagon. It gave a low, deep chuckle and started slowly on again.
Number 999 ran up the steep hill to the castle gates. He had to go so fast to get up the hill at all that when he ran inside the castle gates, he couldn't stop. He ran on through the castle door and bang into the great crystal mirror in the hall of state, and he shattered it to bits. Nothing was left but the gold frame, and it was hanging around number 999's neck.
The lord of the castle came rushing out from lunch with a blueberry muffin in his hand. Oh, how hungry he was. He threw the muffin violently at number 999, and he called to all his soldiers, "Arrest that motor bus."
Number 999 ran around and round the hall of state, and the soldiers ran after him, tripping on the crimson cord that hung from the mirror frame. But at last, 999 crashed into a marble column, accidentally. A muffin crumb had gone in his eye, and he sat down with a thump. Then all the soldiers seized him. He was so stunned by the crash that he couldn't even wiggle, and they threw him out of the castle gates, and he rolled down the steep castle hill. Number 999 heard a faint giggle as the green wagon passed slowly behind a hill in the distance. The soldiers had barred the gates, and the lord of the castle stood on the gray wall in his purple cloak and shook his fist at number 999, who sat in the ditch and rubbed his forehead and straightened his holly wreath. "If you ever come back again," said the lord of the castle, "I'll have you chopped up in little pieces, in pieces." The motor bus climbed stiffly out of the ditch and started off again. All at once he began to laugh. "I wish I could have seen myself falling down the hill," he said. By this time it was almost dark. It was very quiet along the country road, and the snow lay white on the hills, and the great silver Christmas star shone in the sky. "It's Christmas Eve," said the motor bus to himself softly, and suddenly all of the mischief left his heart, and something else came into it. He looked up at the Christmas star again, shining in the dark, clear sky. "It's Christmas Eve," said the motor bus, and he began to sing a Christmas carol. Then he heard a real Christmas carol coming through the air, and he followed the singing, and at last, just as it was really dark, he came to a little brown house, almost covered with snow. Round and round he prowled till he found a window with the shade only half pulled down. And then he kneeled down on his front wheels and he peeped through the window. There was a rosy fire in the fireplace of the little house, and sitting before it was the loveliest lady he had ever seen, with three little girls on one side of her and three little boys on the other. And they were all singing Christmas carols. The motor bus liked listening to their songs. At last the lovely lady said, "Now, darlings, you must run away to bed. And remember, though tomorrow is Christmas Day, there won't be any Christmas presents. Are you sure you won't mind?"
"Of course we won't mind, Mother," said the oldest little boy sturdily. "We think you're wonderful. You've made enough money sewing to get our bread and milk, even though you do have to work all of the time."
Number 999 looked, and indeed the lovely lady was sewing even then. "We all think the Christmas carols are a lovely Christmas present," said the middle boy. "Are you sure the lord of the castle won't send Christmas presents?"
said the littlest boy wistfully. "Of course he won't," said the oldest little girl. "He doesn't know that Daddy had to go way off to the other side of the world to get money enough for us." "I know," said the littlest girl, "how you can give us a Christmas present tomorrow, Mother. You can tell us about the wonderful Christmases you had when you were Lord of the Castle's little girl." "That's what I'll do," said the lovely lady, laughing. But when all the children were asleep in bed, she sat by the fire and cried, because there were no Christmas presents for them. Oh, the motor bus simply couldn't bear to see the lady crying. It hurt him somewhere inside. And when he thought of all the things the Lord of the Castle had, it made him so mad that his engine whirred faster and faster. Then all at once he had a wonderful idea. It was such a good idea that number 999 could hardly keep from sounding his horn. He could hardly keep his wheels still. But he waited patiently till the lady went to sleep there by the fire. Then he slipped around to the front of the house, and he pulled a strong rope out of the toolbox, and he tied one end of it around the little brown house and the other around his waist, and he began to pull the little brown house down the snowy road. Down the road they went and through the snow till they came to the castle hill. The bus had a dreadful time pulling the little brown house up that steep hill, but he did it. Then he opened the castle gates gently, and he left the little brown house in the courtyard. He went on into the castle, only carefully this time, so that he wouldn't break anything, and into the banquet hall, where the lord of the castle and all the soldiers were having a feast. "There's that ridiculous motor bus," shouted the lord of the castle angrily. "Didn't I tell him I'd have him chopped up in little pieces if he ever came back?" "Well, you can have me chopped up in little pieces," said the motor bus bravely, though his window shook at the thought. "But first, I have something to show you." So he led the lord of the castle out into the courtyard and showed him the little brown house and the three little girls and the three little boys asleep in their beds and their mother asleep by the fire, and not a single Christmas present in the house. The lord of the castle wanted to cry, but he couldn't, because he was lord of the castle. So he walked up and down the courtyard very fast, stamping his feet. Then he slapped the motor bus on the side. "You're a good old bus, after all," he said. "Thank you for bringing them up." Then he called to his soldiers, and everyone hurried. In the morning, when the lady and the children woke up, it seemed unusually warm in the little brown house, which was most frightfully cold on winter mornings usually. And when they looked out a window, they seemed to see walls and banners instead of snow and fields. It seemed queer. So as soon as they were dressed, they opened their door. The little brown house had been moved again in the night. It was inside the hall of state, which was big enough to hold 10 little brown houses. When the lady and the children walked out of the front door, there was a great fireplace with a huge fire roaring in it and a stocking piece hanging, crammed full. In one corner was an enormous Christmas tree, green and silver and sparkling with playthings and candy and nuts and every single thing a Christmas tree should have hanging on it. And in the other corner was the motor bus, still with his holly wreath on and a Christmas tree ornaments all over him to make him look gay, and the biggest smile on his face that you ever did see. And there was a lovely turkey cranberry ice cream plum pudding smell coming from the corner. And best of all, there was the lord of the castle, with open arms, in front of the fireplace. The lovely lady laughed and cried and laughed again, and the lord of the castle hugged her and each little girl and each little boy. And then they had the stockings, and then breakfast, and then the tree, and then dinner, and everybody said it was the nicest Christmas ever. Forever after, the lady and her three little boys and three little girls lived with the lord of the castle, and when her husband, the piper, came back from the other side of the world, he lived there too. And number 999? Why, of course. He stayed, too. They all loved him as hard as they could. He had a green wreath to wear every day and a gold one for Sundays. And he asked them if they would call him Jimmy once in a while, and they did. And he never had to carry anyone around unless he wanted to, except the lord of the castle when he went into town to call on the mayor, and he liked that. The motor bus has been very happy ever since. But once in a while, when he gets tired of playing around the castle, He goes down into the city and pretends to be a regular, hard-working bus. Maybe you've ridden on him sometimes. He likes specially to take children, and he likes most of all to take them at Christmas time.